Welcome everybody to another PACE session. It's great to see the crowd this evening. Who's here for the first time? Oh, we've got some newcomers. That's wonderful. We're going to have a great evening. I'm Susan Walsh. I'm the Vice President of Patient Services and Chief Nurse Executive here at Northumberland Hills Hospital, so I'm happy to be your moderator today. Just a few pieces of information about PACE. So PACE is a completely it's not meant to be sort of personalized treatment advice. It's not sponsored. Our guests are often volunteering their time. It's usually on the third Wednesday of every month. It alternates between Cobourg and Port Hope at the Community Health Center. It is a partnership between Northumberland Hills Hospital, the Community Health Centers of Northumberland, the Northumberland Hills Hospital Foundation. And tonight it's being videoed by our loyalist students, so welcome students for that. Any of the videos of the sessions will be available on www.pacetalks.com, so they are available to you to view after the session. In case you missed anything, you can always go back and do it again. It's my great pleasure to introduce Taylor to you tonight. Taylor Dunn is exploring the benefits of music therapy, the science and benefits. Taylor is born and raised in Cobourg before she attended Acadia University in 2008. Taylor has returned to Northumberland County and maintained strong family ties in the community. Through music techniques and interventions, Taylor works with clients ranging from newborns to 96-year-olds, young, to realize physical, mental, and spiritual goals. Though she has focused on employing music therapy in the mental health and long-term care fields in the past, today she works primarily with kids and adults with varying special needs and utilizes guitar, piano, voice, and percussion instruments in her practice. During this exciting PACE session, Taylor will be utilizing her past experience and some key examples to explore what music therapy is, who it can benefit, and why it can be so effective in helping clients realize their goals. Please join me in welcoming Taylor with a warm welcome.
Thank you so much. All right, so first off, I just want to say a big thank you to everybody that I've been coordinating with here at the hospital for having me. It's really nice to come back home and be able to talk about what it is I do, and especially in our little small town and in our county, I don't think music therapy is super recognized. So it's nice to be able to pass along my knowledge, and hopefully you enjoy. So like Susan said, my name is Taylor. So I was born and raised here in Cobourg. I went to St. Mary's Catholic School. And then in 2008, I went to Acadia University, where I first started off doing a Bachelor of Music in Vocal Performance. And so I was there for 4 years doing that. And while I was in my music courses, I took a lot of psychology courses, and I had a lot of friends that were heavily involved in the Bachelor of Music Therapy program. But at the time, performing was my thing, and when I graduated in 2012, I ended up coming home, living back in Cobourg for a year with my parents, and had no idea what I wanted to do with my voice degree. And so I actually ended up contacting some of my friends that were music therapists at the time and had gone through the program, and also contacted some of my professors back at Acadia in Wolf Hill, Nova Scotia, and decided to pursue my certificate in music therapy, which I graduated from in 2015. And now I've been practicing in Mississauga, Oakville, and Milton for the past 4 years. So to start us off, what is music therapy? So our definition up here is given by the Canadian Association of Music Therapists. So we've got the definition outlined here. Music therapy is a discipline in which credentialed professionals use music purposefully within therapeutic relationships to support development, health, and well-being. Music therapists use music safely and ethically to address human needs with cognitive, communicative, emotional, musical, physical, social, and spiritual domains. So while this is such a great and all-encompassing definition, every time I get asked about my job, it's very hard to rhyme this off. And I get asked on a very regular basis, what do you do? So how I best describe it is music therapy is a way for me to help somebody achieve their non-musical goals using my skills, not only as a therapist, but as a musician. So I've been a musician my entire life. When I was living in Coburg, I was heavily involved in Northumberland Players and did a lot of musicals through there. I was a part of Lajeunesse choirs for a very long time as well, and also was a part of the high school choirs and my elementary school choir. So I've been a musician for as long as I can remember. So what does music therapy look like? So as Susan was saying, these are kind of my main clients that I deal with now. So I did previously work with long-term care and mental health, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But right now, a lot of my clients are with community living. So we do have a community living Northumberland here in Coburg. So that's a program for adults with special needs. So my clients in the community living setting range from 21, and my oldest, I believe, just celebrated his 71st birthday. It's a lovely gentleman with Down syndrome, is one of the most musical beings I've ever met in my life. He's so wonderful. So with these groups, I typically run sessions starting with a hello song. So that gives me the chance to have a one-on-one moment with my client. Even if it's for 30 seconds, I get that special little time with those people for, ooh, hi, no. Did we lose it? Can you hear me anyways?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no problem.
Low battery.
Hello?
The battery's low.
Okay.
You go ahead.
All right, I'll just talk at you, that's okay. All right, so we start off with a hello song. Usually I have about 8 to 12 people in my groups, but this gives me a chance for one-on-one, eye contact, social interaction, and that kind of thing. Then we usually move on to a movement song. So we get up, we get the blood flowing a little bit. We have an instrument song. We have a guitar song, a drumming song, and then our goodbye song. And same thing, I always do my one-on-one at the very beginning and the very end so that I get that little bit of one-on-one time with my client. But while we're in the groups, doing all of those different activities, they're actually able to build social interactions. We're increasing their independent choosing. So they pick their own instruments. They pick the song that they want to do for the guitar. So I play my guitar, and then they have guitar as well, and they like to pick their own song. Can range anywhere from oldies in the 1940s to I'm pulling up stuff that's on the radio right now. It's quite the variety. Keeps me on my toes, which is quite lovely. But through this, I'm able to mostly provide them with a fun, safe, and accepting environment for them to give me all their self-expression. So I'm also able to modify my programs to make it accessible to my nonverbal clients and my non-mobile clients. So I'll get into a little bit about why it works so well with my nonverbal clients as we go through. So there's a large part of my client base as well, so just moving down there, is with, I work very closely with the HALT and Down Syndrome Association. So these little guys come to me often as newborns. I think the youngest I've seen is 4 months. And currently my oldest one-to-one client is about 8 years old. And so these are all little guys who were born with Down syndrome. So typically with these families, I often bring in a speech-language pathologist. So one of the really, really great things about music therapy is that we are able to work with a broad selection of different clinicians. So we can work closely with occupational therapists, we can work closely with speech-language pathologists, we can work closely with physical therapists, all that kind of thing. So specifically for my kids with Down syndrome, a lot of what we're facing is speech delays. And so that's because of the low muscle tone that they are born with. And these little guys, so what happens is we bring in the speech language pathologist and myself, and we as a team assess our client. The speech pathologist walks away and makes the goals, sends them to me, and then I build my treatment plan based on the rapport that I've built with my client off of what their goals are. So oftentimes it's creating space. Oop.
You're back.
Wonderful. Can you hear me now? I don't have to yell at you anymore. So in these sessions with my clients with Down syndrome, oftentimes I'll use familiar songs with my kids for them to fill in the blanks, or for them, again, for self-expression. Because a lot of the time, what happens is because of the speech delay, the speech doesn't come, so then the language doesn't come, and then the communication doesn't come. And you can imagine how frustrating that would be, especially for a child who you're trying to tell somebody that you're tired, or you want to go to the bathroom, or that you're hungry and you can't. So we use different tools with music in order to build that communication, to build that language, to build that speech, and then try to work that into their homes as well. So at our bottom two here, so we've got long-term care and mental health. So after I graduated from Acadia, from my certificate, every music therapist that comes out of school is required to do a 1,000-hour clinically supervised internship. So with my supervisor, I worked a lot in long-term care, and I worked at Ontario Shores Centre for Mental Health Sciences in Whitby, and I did my two placements there. So while I was at my long-term care facility, I worked on four different units. So two of them were more retirement units, and so there I often did groups with my clients, and there we worked on maintaining memory, so singing a lot of the songs that they were very familiar with, which often led us into discussions, which often led to a lot of social interaction, which was really, really lovely, because especially for my clients who had just moved into the long-term care, that can oftentimes be a little bit scary, because you're leaving behind your home oftentimes, potentially leaving behind a spouse, and you're moving into a new place with all these new people. And so I was actually able to start to build relationships between my clients based on reminiscing about different things, which was really lovely to see. Two of the other units that I worked on were locked units. So these were clients that suffered from Alzheimer's or dementia, and some of them to the point that we did lock the units just for their own safety. So I'm going to tell you about the very first one-to-one client I ever had at this long-term care home. So we're going to call him John. He was a lovely man, quite young to be in a long-term care, and especially quite young to be on a locked unit. So John suffered from a type of dementia that affected his frontal lobe, so right in the front of his brain. And the type of dementia that he had essentially took away his personality, but also gave him aphasia. So aphasia is, he was unable to comprehend and to formulate language because of the damage that the dementia caused. So I would approach John, and John would be sitting in a chair, and I'd say, "Hey John, you wanna go for music today?" Nothing. But I took this as, you know what, I didn't get a no, so we're gonna go. So John and I would go into a room with the assistance of the staff there, and it took a while for me to get John to feel like he was able to express to me anything, to give me anything. So we worked together for about an hour a week for about 6 months, and eventually, probably about 2 months in, I would start to sing a song, and John would slowly start to sing the last word of a phrase that I would sing. So our song was "You Are My Sunshine." And the very first time that John ever sang with me, I sang, "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are..." And he said, "Red." But this is part of what the aphasia does. So John knew that there was a color that was filling into that spot, but because of the damage that he had, it just came out whatever color was coming out first. So over working an hour a week for 6 months, by the end of our time together, John was singing the entire chorus of "You Are My Sunshine" with me. Took us a long time to fit in those words. Sometimes they didn't all come out in the right order, but that was okay. We took it as slow as we had to. And then unfortunately, I also had to go through losing my first client just as quickly as I got my first client. And John ended up passing away, but I had conversations with his wife, and she said that she'd never seen that sparkle in his eye after his diagnosis. So that was really, really lovely for me. So moving on to our mental health here. So while at Ontario Shores, I worked with my supervisor over 2 days on 8 units at Ontario Shores. So some of our units included adults who had not been assessed yet for their mental health concerns, so they were just coming in into the inpatient facility. We worked with inpatient adolescents, we worked on geriatric units, and we actually worked on 4 different forensics units. So within these units, the forensics ones, these were people that were either found not criminally responsible for their crimes because of their mental state at the time, so they were serving their sentence there, or they were brought into the facility in order to get assessed for their mental health before they were to serve out their sentence at a regular facility. So with these guys, what we did, kind of across the board, but a lot in the forensics units, was because for me, it was almost like working with my peers. I was working with a much younger population than I was used to at the long-term care home, especially. And so what we did is we did a lot of song analysis. And so that's taking any kind of song, usually a pop song that was between the 2000s and current, and we would break it down line by line. And we'd say, okay, so this is what this artist wrote, and this is what they're singing, but what does that mean? And so through this, again, very similar to working in long-term care, we were able to build connections between different clients in order for them to kind of say, yeah, you know what, that's a good idea. I think they actually did mean that too. I didn't think of it that way. And so through them, we were able to analyze the songs. And oftentimes what we did with those songs was we changed the words to be relevant to how our clients were feeling. So that was also really lovely in order to be able to see that. And we also had different instruments that we'd bring in. And so if people didn't feel like singing along, they were able to just participate by playing instruments, which was really lovely and really, really brought out some of our clients who felt a little bit isolated at the time. So those are just some of the clients and the populations that I work with on a regular basis. But our list here is who can benefit from music therapy. So we've got people with acquired brain injuries, autism or other developmental disabilities, people dealing with emotional traumas, geriatric care, hearing impairment, neonatal care, oncology, pain control, palliative care, physical disabilities, substance abuse, youth at risk, victims of abuse, or visual impairments. So through the use of music, we're offering a non-invasive therapeutic method that's able to reach everybody and really, really help people achieve their goals in whatever avenue possible. All right, so we're going to go through the interventions that I use in my daily practice, and I'm going to explain to you why these methods are so effective. So the first one we've got here is singing. So singing actually aids in the development of articulation, and it actually is able, through singing, we're actually able to work on different functions within the mouth. So we're working on different speech things. So like I was describing with my kids with Down syndrome, we typically have 3 different areas that we're dealing with when we're speaking and when we're singing. So we've got the lip sounds, so P's, B's, and M's. We've got the tongue sounds, D, T, and N. And then we've got them back in the throat. We've got G, K, and H. Okay? So through singing, we're actually able to help bring those forward and to bring out all of those sounds. And we're also working on the breath control to help with all of that as well. Singing also builds our sense of rhythm. And in groups, it can give us a sense of belonging and social interaction, like I kind of described within my my long-term care and my mental health and my guys with community living. We're activating and stimulating language centers in our brains while we're singing. And so for patients who have dealt with strokes or traumatic brain injuries, we're actually able to build the gaps in those damaged parts of the brain by accessing the language centers and helping them to build bridges across those damaged parts. So next we have playing instruments. So with our instruments, a lot of the times I'll use unpitched instruments. So that's shakers, bells, tambourines, all those kind of things, and drums. And so with those, we're actually building a lot of fine motor movement, so that's your fingers, and we're also working on gross motor movement. So with drumsticks, using our hands and our arms, to play the drums across. Lost my place here. So playing can also give somebody a sense of participation, even if we're singing a song, but you may not necessarily be feeling comfortable. But it also allows another avenue for our clients that are nonverbal, like I mentioned before. So another spot that I work at is called the Darling Home for Kids, and that's a respite home up in Milton. And so those kids are very medically fragile, and it's a respite place that parents can leave their kids for a weekend, and there's 24/7 nurses and PSWs there to take care of them. Gives parents a nice break. And so with those kids, most of them are nonverbal. It's very rare for me to actually get kids who are verbal. But with those kids, we use the chimes, we use shakers, we use drums. And while I'm singing their favorite songs, they're going crazy on those things. Oftentimes, we've got kids playing the chimes and another kid is hearing them playing and somebody's getting upset because it's not their turn yet. Alrighty here. All right, so next here we've got improvising and composing. So again, improvising and composing, even if it's to, even improvising to a pre-written, pre-recorded song, those kids playing those chimes are improvising. I'm not telling them when to play. They're playing when they feel like playing. And that, again, offers us another spot for them to feel comfortable and for them to express themselves. A really, really fun improvising tool that we use as well that we often used in mental health was drum circles. So everybody's in a circle facing each other. Everybody's got a big drum. And somebody will start, usually the music therapist or the person leading will start with a nice steady beat. And everybody else just kind of chimes in when they feel like it. No one's telling you what to do. No one's telling you how to play. You're going to play how you feel like playing, and you're going to contribute to the room. And it's a really, really, really lovely feeling. With composing as well, composing I used a lot in my long-term care setting. Composing is a very, very nice way for those who were musical in the past and still are, and for those who weren't before. Composing is a really nice way to leave a legacy behind for somebody. So it might be really hard to find the specific words that you want to get out to leave behind for your family, but if you want to play something along, or if it's easier to just kind of sing it out, we oftentimes left behind a CD for the families of those who were entering palliative care. And then we've got listening. So I'm going to ask you a question. Don't feel like you need to raise your hand, but who has ever had just one of those days, nothing seems to be going right, and you get in your car or you get home and you throw the radio on or you throw on a CD or you throw on any kind of music? Yeah? 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 I would be very, very shocked if people were like, no. No, I don't. This is because listening to songs that we can reminisce on or that inspire joy in us or in happiness in us, you're releasing all of those really lovely chemicals in your brain to help you come down from that bad day. And that's why we often prescribe listening to music to our clients, especially clients with anxiety or clients who are suffering with depression or anything like that. Even just for myself, I know if I'm having a bad day, I'm sitting in my car and I'm turning it up all the way home. So one other example that I'm going to give you for listening, and it kind of ties into our last one here, our percussion and our rhythm. So up at the Darling Home, I had this little client. He was about 8 years old. And so at the home, every weekend that I go, I'm not met with the same clients. I'll oftentimes see these clients maybe about 3 to 4 times per year, just depending on the availability of them and then of the home as well. So I had this little guy, he was about 8 years old, and when I got there, he was sobbing, just in tears, the saddest thing. And he was also nonverbal. So myself, the PSWs, the nurses, no one had any idea what was going on. So we knew ahead of time that this little guy liked music, so I said, you know what, I'll take him into the room with me, we'll see if we can get him to calm down. So I sat down with him, I got my guitar, and he pushed my guitar away. So I said, okay, no guitar today, that's wonderful. And he grabs my hands and he starts clapping. So I said, okay. So while he's clapping my hands and he's clapping his own hands, I just started singing a song along to the beat that he was going to. And eventually, about 30 seconds later, the crying stopped. So I stopped singing, stopped clapping, crying started back up again. Okay, I see what's going on here. So we started clapping and we started singing. And eventually I phased out the singing and we just sat there clapping and clapping and clapping. And my manager poked her head in, and so I asked her to go and grab his iPad and to download a metronome app. So a metronome, for those of you who aren't too familiar with it, it keeps a very steady beat, and you can have sound to go along with it, but it keeps a steady beat. You can set it to a little bit faster, a little bit slower, but whatever you set it to, that thing's not stopping. It keeps going. And so she matched what I was clapping with my little guy, and we set it on his lap, and he was no tears for the rest of the night. So because of this, our internal systems are hardwired to match a beat that's going on around us. So if we were actually all to stand up and get in a circle and hold hands with each other, all of our heartbeats would eventually start to link up because of the attachment and the feeling and just the way that we're hardwired. So it's really interesting when you've got a song that does bring you down from those really stressful moments. Oftentimes, it's not going to be something that's going to get you really worked up again. It's going to be something that brings you back down. Or it's the reason why when we're going for a walk or we're going for a run or we're going to work out, you're going to get something that gets you motivated and gets you moving that has a faster beats per minute instead of maybe, you know, something that's slowing us right down. All right, so our last one here is our percussion and rhythm exercises. So like I just described with my little guy, that right there was a rhythm exercise. And so with our percussion and our rhythm, we can actually use this to help our clients increase their range of motion, to increase their coordination, and also to work on their gait consistency as well. So our rhythm is really important in priming the motor areas of our brain, and it helps us to regulate those autonomic processes, such as our breathing and our heart rate, like I kind of described. So, it's your turn. We're gonna do some music therapy right here, right now. So, if you feel comfortable, and please don't feel like you need to, I'm gonna invite you to stand up. Wonderful. We're in a bit of a small space here, but what I'd like you to do is we're going to go all in the same direction. I was going to have you go in different directions, but I feel like that won't work. All I'm going to get you to do is walk around the room. We're going to go this way. We're going to walk in a counterclockwise, for me, counterclockwise, this way around the room. Any speed you'd like, any pace you'd like, and then I'll interrupt you in about 10 or 15 seconds, okay? So I'd like you to just start walking that way. Once we get in a motion, then I'll start. I didn't expect this many people, so.
You're popular.
I expected a lot more people to sit, to be quite honest. Oh. No, that's okay.
That's wonderful. You might have to come here and do some therapy for us.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I'm going to sneak in the middle here. All right, so once we get moving a little bit, then I'll show you what we're going to do. So keep walking, walk, 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 walk. You read my mind, Paul. You read my mind. You know what? I think what we'll have too is you can actually come up this way. We'll open it up a little bit so you can walk around and then you can walk up this way.
And then we're stuck.
Yeah, and then we're stuck. So so we'll have some people still go this way.
Maybe create a passage
here. Yeah. That's coming after. Don't worry, that's coming. Yeah. Please break up and kind of move about as you need. Yeah. There we go. Now we're moving. Wonderful. Here, I'll let you go through there as well. All right. So while you're moving, I'm going to start to play something on my drum, and I just want you to keep walking. Okay? Find your way back to your seat, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. Sorry. Thank you for humoring me. That was wonderful. All right, wonderful. So it took us a bit to get moving there, but once the drum started, we kind of got moving, which was wonderful. And I don't know if you noticed, but I would say probably about 80% of the people in this room, the second the drum started, you started walking on the beat along with the drum. Again, internally, it's very, very hard not to walk on the beat. If you're purposely trying not to, it's very, very difficult. And so using a drum or using a song with a very strong beat is one of the ways that we can help our clients with their gait consistency. So people who have maybe suffered a stroke that are struggling to get back the movement of the one side, it also works super well with my kids, again, with Down syndrome, who maybe are a little bit delayed in their walking. As soon as I get that drum out, they're up and they're ready to go because they get to stomp their feet along with the drum. It's so, so lovely. We're going to do one more example, and then I'll open the floor up. I didn't bring the guitar just for show. We're going to use it. All right, so for this, I would love for everyone in the room to close their eyes. Okay? So the reason I'm asking you to close your eyes is just for the comfort level, just to start us off. As you feel more comfortable, if you feel more comfortable, I welcome you to open up your eyes. I'm going to start a song, and when you feel comfortable, I'd love for you to join me. If you don't feel comfortable, please just sit back with your eyes closed and enjoy.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away.
one more.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take
even had some harmonies thrown in there. That was beautiful. All right, so if you can tell me that you don't feel lovely after those three verses, I clearly didn't do my job well enough. All right, thank you everybody so, so much for coming out today. So I've got two websites up here that you can find more information on for music therapy. So one there is that top one there, musictherapy.ca. is just the website for the Canadian Association of Music Therapists. So that provides you with lots and lots of information on different forms of music therapy, things that are going on within our music therapy community. You can also become an advocate for music therapy, which is really lovely. And then we've got our musictherapyontario.com, and that's a really lovely resource for people to be able to find music therapists within the county. So you can go on there and there's a find a therapist button and you can type in where you're living and you can look up who's practicing in the area. I know that there definitely are some within Northumberland. So yeah, thank you guys so much.
So Taylor. Hello. So Taylor, thank you so much for that. Was really, really amazing. I bet you didn't think you would be walking and singing. So this is a very unusual PACE event.